Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is a pleasure to see you all here hanging out live today as we get started with the second episode and the pilot of the State of Streaming series within the Becoming a Streamer podcast by Pipeline. We created this as a series where we can sit down, look at some of the events that are going on in the industry, keep you guys updated, as well as share some of our thoughts and what it means for creators in the space, and even just myself. This is stuff that I love to talk about all the time. It's stuff that I talk about with my co-host Steven all the time. And so it's fun to be able to have the opportunity to bring you guys all in, talk about it live. And we just did the last pilot episode last week or 2 weeks ago now. It was a hit, and it's a pleasure to be able to chat about it with all you guys. Big thing as well, bringing you guys in, hopefully, with the comments. Last time, we did manage to bring in a couple comments, questions. Would love to see some more of that as well. And then, yeah, talk about how it affects everything going on. Today, we got quite a few topics. And, of course, Snoopy, Steven, joining me with it.
What's up? Yeah, it's such a pleasure to be doing this. A couple of weeks back, we ran our first episode. And just getting to talk about the stuff that's going through our head in the industry. You know, we do a lot behind the scenes. And it's just rare to get this chance to chat with everyone in the community about what's going on in the space, because it impacts us as an industry as a whole, both on the viewer side and the creator side. So it's really cool just to get a chance to talk about that, share our thoughts, and then get the community's thoughts on it.
Definitely. Today we're talking about quite a few things. Twitch soundtrack. Obviously, we talked about last time, Twitch has kind of made some changes with, for better or worse, they kind of got some of their music abilities taken away. They've been working on some changes to that. Esports streaming numbers continue to thrive. Stream Hatchet just came out with their report, last week? And it changed it. So I'm hearing a bit of echo on it. I don't know if you guys can hear that. Hopefully not. But esports streaming numbers continue to thrive into Q3. So that's pretty cool. We'll talk about all the specific numbers. I guess we're not going to get into absolutely everything, but we'll get into quite a bit for it. Fall Guys versus Among Us, the battle for 2020, viral game. These two games kind of came out of nowhere in particular. I don't know how much you guys have been playing it, seeing it. I'm actually playing some Among Us later today. That game has been pretty much taking over. Twitch changes its policy as well after Dr. Disrespect ended up showing up on a Twitch stream. This is something that a lot of people still don't know. Unfortunately, Doc got banned off Twitch. We still don't even have the specific reason on any of that. But
I don't think we ever will, to be honest.
Yeah, at this point, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to hear anything about it. It's been a few months now. He came back at mid-Q3, actually, I believe. And it was even before that, I think, when he got banned. I think it was at least a month or so where he didn't even stream. I don't remember how long the actual period of time was. But he's been playing in a tournament, the VicStar tournament. I've played in that a couple of the weeks now. But he was going up against a couple streamers. And that led to Twitch actually updating their policy on their website. At least it looks like it was as a direct repercussion of that happening. And then, of course, a bunch of new games coming out or delayed. World of Warcraft Shadowlands got a delay. A couple other pretty big games have been coming out. Of course, we got the new year or the end of year games just before the new year that are going to be popping out as well. So a lot going on, a lot happened in the last 2 weeks in particular. I think I'm most excited to talk about some of the numbers and see what some of the breakdown is of how everything's, especially post kind of COVID. We saw Q1 to Q2 and the Q2 to Q3 numbers. If you guys haven't seen that, taking a look at a bit of that.
But first things first, Twitch soundtrack got announced a couple of days ago. And this was kind of coming off episode one. We were chatting about how Facebook Gaming had made this big deal with the record labels to allow content creators, specifically partners, right away. They were able to share and use music in their streams while they were streaming. So not for VOD content, but specifically in their streams, they were able to use music from these libraries.
I tried that, by the way. I tried that again this last week just because we were talking about it. I wanted to see, okay, how's it going? Like, can I successfully stream from, you know, any mainstream music? And no, I got shut down. Like, I was like,
that's a bummer.
My stream. I will say it was nice. Like, I started a stream with some TNT. It was starting, like, everything was starting to go really good. The vibe was really strong. And then just shut that chat, just stops working. And then it says it's blocked in every country. And then I had to close it and reopen it. So I'm not testing it again.
There's some kinks that need to be ironed out. But in good faith, a lot of money was spent, whether or not it's technically implemented properly yet. The Facebook crew did spend a lot of money on it.
Listen, I'm hoping that they get it, so like at least I can have something where I can search it and figure out what it is, because it's unfortunate when everything gets shut down. But I mean, it is cool. It can be hopefully a good win.
So I think we should get into a little bit about Twitch and what Twitch announced this week, which is Twitch Soundtrack. Essentially, yeah. It is a library of music that content creators can choose from. You've got a dashboard that you can choose the song that you want to play on your stream. Big things to note is that it's a pretty limited song selection. I think it's something like over 35,000 tracks, and it's mostly from indie folks. There's some good ones in there, like Monster Cat, you know, Porter Robinson, Insomniac are in there. But if you're using this music on Twitch during your live stream, you should never have to worry about any copyright. One thing to note here is it's not for VOD content, so this is not a license to use this in your videos that you're then uploading elsewhere. It's specifically for your live streams, and they've actually got a cool kind of standalone tool that links to OBS Studio, Twitch Studio, and Streamlabs, and Stream Element support is coming later. So it is a big move in that Twitch largely ignored their music problem for many years, and this is them finally shipping something that's attacking that. However, there is some controversy around it. At first, everyone was like, oh my God, Twitch Soundtrack's incredible. You know, thank you, Twitch, for listening and shipping something. But there is some drawbacks to that. You know, specifically, there was an article by Pretzel Rocks who kind of went through this, what it means for streamers. And the reality here is that artists are not necessarily being paid for the music that is being streamed by content creators. So this is a bit controversial in that it's the artist's music. It's what they create, and they're not being paid. The only way they're being paid for it right now is an exposure. So a streamer essentially has to show the artist's name and the music that they're using on their stream when they're playing it. But the artist is actually not getting any money for that, only exposure. The way the artist would make money is that they would then have to, you know, later down the line, the person would have to go look up that music on a platform like Spotify, and then they would get revenue from the number of plays, but nothing directly through Twitch. So I guess my question to you, David, is how big a game changer do you think this is? You know, Facebook announced their big deal a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
Is this an answer from Twitch?
Yeah, I think this is good. The biggest thing too, I was thinking about this a lot more over the past couple of weeks, is like, I think a lot of people just use a different solution anyways, whether that's Epidemic, Pretzel Rock, or even just free music. Night Mode, I believe, is a pretty big one that's been coming up. Even just Monster Cat too, which is actually really cool to see that it's included in it as well. But Monster Cat's been a really popular one on Twitch in general. So I don't know how big of an impact this is really going to have. Like, in the same way of what I was talking about, where Facebook's kind of come out with this now, but it's still not fully kind of implemented yet. This at least is fully implemented. Plus, even to your point of like, the creators and, or the, you know, the creators of the music and how they're actually being registered for it. What is nice is at least I've seen a lot of people on Twitch having some type of an extension. So if somebody types in the chat what the song is, it'll automatically pull that information, or it'll even be on screen. In some cases, a lot of people don't always have that, but a lot of times there's a bot or there's some type of integration for it, which at least can somewhat bring it back to the artist, although I do, you know, it's not the same as Spotify or whatever, where if it's just natively being played to 5,000 people or however many people are watching, then they would get some revenue from that. I mean, I don't know. I think there's a bit of a limitation on the songs. Like, don't you think that would be, you know, compared to the everything else that you can have? Like, I mean, do you think this is going to be something that's a big effective for it?
So I think that it's a move forward in that, you know, they've got a team of people at Twitch that have shipped a product that is, you know, attacking a problem they've had for many years. I really do think, though, that the artists not being able to directly monetize is a big issue. And I think it's still going to cause a lot of headbutting between the music industry and the streaming and content creation industry. And I think there is a limited amount of music. So I think that the end goal is there a way that we can directly reward the artists and more properly reward them for their music being shared? The big issue is, the music licenses. It's so complicated on the back end. This is not just straightforward, unfortunately. There's so many different stakeholders behind the scenes that it makes it difficult both for Twitch, Facebook, or the creators.
I will say, I think the coolest thing that I saw from this was that Twitch is creating their own playlists with the music. So, like, if you want a chill playlist, if you want, like, they're actually helping to curate within the music that's available. Now, I don't know if that's going to work for everybody, but especially when there is thousands of songs, even, it can be a lot to go through, especially if it's not like prefigured out from the greater community of like, hey, this is what's popular in pop culture, whatever it is. The next thing we wanted to talk about too, though, today was esports streaming numbers and them continuing to thrive. If you guys haven't seen, Stream Hatchet kind of collected a bunch of data, put out a really cool report that a lot of, you can go through, you can see a lot of different breakdowns. We have some numbers for it, but after the big increase in streaming hours, both from viewers and the streamer side in Q2, numbers remain relatively strong still in the third quarter. Twitch is, of course, still the most popular platform, followed by YouTube, and then followed by Facebook after that. But Twitch did end up actually losing watch hours per week compared to quarter two, which was actually, it was 370 million, which I believe was about like 8% decrease. And that was even after they picked up, Shroud coming back, Ninja coming back, and everything else going on.
They lost Courage and they did lose Valk as well earlier this year.
That's true. Facebook still in the game too. Of course, Mixer no longer in the game, but while distant off a little bit, Facebook continues to keep on growing at a pretty steady pace. 200% increase compared to the last year, so that was pretty incredible. League of Legends has been easily the most watched game, 540 million hours watched in Q3. Does that still warm your heart?
It totally does. I mean, it's a 10-year-old game that's still crushing it. Obviously, a large part of that is the esports side. They've got the world championships are going on right now, which, it trounces any other game in terms of their esports spectatorship, especially this time of year in October when the world finals are going on. The cool thing is they're actually going out in China right now. Unfortunately, the time zone's a little ridiculous, so for those League of Legends fans out there, I feel sorry for you because you're staying up to the early hours and then getting up for work in the morning. But, they're crushing it and continue. 10 years old and still one of the most watched games.
540 million hours watched just in Q3. And then kind of give you some comparison too, to Fortnite, for example, that was 430 million hours just kind of in comparison. I mean, what do you think about the numbers of Twitch kind of falling off from the last quarter? Because I feel like obviously
definitely don't take away the market leader for sure. I think this points towards YouTube and Facebook eating a little bit of market share. I think that's what caused a little bit of the shrink. They're both of those platforms, the product on YouTube and on Facebook is getting better. Twitch had a massive head start, almost like 7+ years head start on both those platforms. And I think the product both on Facebook and YouTube Live is starting to get to a point where creators can monetize, where discovery is a little better, and we're starting to see more people be successful on those platforms. So I think that's eating into Twitch a little bit. Also, I just think, coming off those highs, consumption and production was up like crazy, especially in Q2. And I think we're just seeing that come down a little bit as people go back to school, back to work. And this is kind of normal, honestly, from a seasonality perspective, where when everyone goes back to school, numbers do dip across YouTube and Twitch. So I wouldn't take anything too big from it, that there's been a slight dip. Honestly, I expect it to start picking back up again. Once everyone's back to school, once everyone's back at work, and it kind of normalizes a little.
Yeah, question from the chat from Danny says, are stats skewed due to the lockdown? That's what I feel like personally is more of an impact. It seems like at least it's more of an impact than, you know, I think YouTube's gaining some traction. I think Facebook's gaining some traction. Obviously, they've got big percentage increases and they're gaining hours. But there was such a humongous spike at the beginning of the year of people watching content. What I think is really interesting to see is that it's still relatively stable. We didn't see as much growth, I think, in, you know, from Q1 to Q2 over to Q3. Like, it's not going at the same trend of what it started with at the beginning of all of this. But what's really cool is that it's kind of retained where it's at. And to me, it's kind of like, look at how many more people have now seen the world of streaming or opened their eyes to, you know, even watching this type of content, even if they hadn't necessarily been before. And it was, I think it was more of an expansion from that, even with older generations that are getting more into it. Besides just, of course, like, I think there's going to be more steady growth as more kids grow up, more high schoolers or whatever, like, can people continue to grow up and watch more of it or see more of it online and kind of grow with it versus just transitioning from, you know, maybe watching cable or whatever it might have been over to it. To me, that seems like it's one of the bigger things. The other thing that I was kind of curious too, with, you know, talking about League of Legends, is do you think that, you know, obviously you got a lot of fandom for it yourself, but do you think it's going to continue to stay around? Like, do you think these competitions, is this going to keep on getting bigger from where it's at? Is it something that's kind of gradually dying off? Like, because if for a game that's been around that long, this is like, it's crazy to see compared to, you know, like every Call of Duty, every new year and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty unprecedented, right? They take a very different approach where the game is constantly getting refreshed. I play the game once a week with my buddies. I'm way worse than I was, but the game is really fresh. They're adding constantly new champions. They're patching every couple of weeks. They're actually making, you know, one of the biggest overhauls to the game, which is almost like a new Call of Duty, right? Like, they're doing this. They do one of these big patches around this time of year, which is during Worlds in October, and they're going to essentially revamp, you know, 30% of the game is going to change. So even though it is 10-year-olds, they're constantly iterating on it. It's not staying still. And that just keeps it fresh. And I think seeing the best people in the world play at the very top and getting this, you know, big spike of interest throughout World Championships, then, you know, gets a bunch of people back into the game as well, which is, you know, I'll find myself, I play more now because Worlds is on. So even though, you know, I've been playing this game now for 10 years, I'm excited to dive back in. I think that's true for a lot of folks that are tuning in.
One last thing before we switch topics too, that I thought was a really cool takeaway from this. Some people in the chat were talking about YouTube as well. Valkyrie actually was the top of the female streaming pool, specifically streaming on YouTube. When, you know, we talked about her switching over, she was the number one in terms of watch hours, which, hats off to her. She's been absolutely crushing it with the Switch. But on top of that, on YouTube, which is kind of like a platform that's been growing and coming up on it, it was cool to see her name on top of everything on Twitch too. And just to see the competition between the platforms and things still growing, I think we're hopefully in for some more
exciting
improvement.
It's really exciting. Yeah. To see all the platforms having, you know, strong leaders at the front is really exciting. Switching gears a little bit, going into Fall Guys Among Us. We chatted about Fall Guys a couple of weeks ago. I also got a crown off you. Just want to remind you of that one.
Yeah.
We're playing Among Us later this week, and I'm probably going to beat you at that, I hope.
I don't know about that. I think, you know.
I think we have to talk about, you know, the rise and fall of these two games, because they are, you know, when we look back on 2020 from a gaming perspective, these two games are really knockout successes. There is some new contenders on that front as well that are seeing a lot of success, but specifically Fall Guys and Among Us, there's been a massive battle there.
Out of nowhere. Like, nobody, I don't think anybody's like, man, I can't wait for Fall Guys to come out later this year. It just kind of came out and then boom, Among Us been around and then boom, you know, like it's definitely going to be, especially with the amount of memes that are going around and the conversation on the internet around all this, like these are going to be big hits for sure for the year.
And Among Us, we touched on this a couple of weeks back, is just this idea of, you know, people being lonely in the pandemic, people being burned out on content, and it's almost just like the perfect game at the moment. You know, thinking about if you look at these graphs right now, you've got, just in September, you've seen where Among Us has just skyrocketed past Fall Guys, and Fall Guys is kind of petering off. I think for both of these games, they're relatively small dev teams who are seeing a lot of success very quickly, and that's going to be hard to keep up and you know, well, continue to innovate and iterate.
Among Us's team is three people. It's literally three people. That's it.
That is that so, is for the amount of success that they've seen, that is insane.
Yeah.
They had 3 million concurrent players in September.
Yeah, and you know what? I just saw last night XQC and a few others, Trainwreck, these guys were streaming. I think X alone had like 90,000 people watching them, but they did a competition in Among Us. Like they made some competition parameters where you get points for voting people off and whatnot, but that did insanely well. I don't know if it was because of the first time that it was doing it, but maybe they do a couple iterations. Maybe this just gets even bigger. For a game that's made by three people, it's really mind-blowing, especially because I've been to a couple, you know, like AAA. I always like the AAA games typically. I've been to some of the studios to see how many people are working on and everything. And, you know, it's a very different type of game to be, you know, to see it as well. But it's really cool. But that's why I'm hoping that they can keep iterating on it as they go with it.
Why do you think that Among Us, you know, really took off in the last month or so? I mean, one of the big things is in mobile. Do you think that's why?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, think about how many more people can play this. The other thing that I saw too was it was basically asking one of the creators about, you know, what about doing it for console or something as well. Well, they kind of already have mobile, which is fantastic. I think that's obviously a huge hit. There's way more mobile players in general than anything else. But they basically said, you know, for that, they would need to create a communication system, like some type of communication wheel or something, so you can send messages, because you're not going to go and type each individual letter with your controller, you know what I mean, like on console. And communication is one of the biggest things, or if it is even voice comm, they got to develop that entire thing, and it's a huge process to even undertake on it. So I'm not super convinced it's going to happen anytime soon, unless they really decide like, hey, we're going to expand our team and we're going to be bigger than just this tiny company. And that's really on them. Like, for them to see this kind of success, even with just what they're doing, like, that's pretty cool. But I think longevity of it is, that's what it's going to come down to, is can they keep up with the demand of what people want to see, whether that is modes or ways to play, maps, everything.
Yeah, one of the things they, you know, talked about, just as Among Us was starting to take off, they'd actually planned on releasing Among Us 2. They were like, we're going to, you know, this game is 2 years old. We're going to go come with a fresh take for Among Us 2. And the devs actually said, you know what? We're just going to scrap Among Us 2. There is no Among Us 2 anymore.
Yep.
Among Us is doing so well. We're just going to, you know, patch updates in. And I think, you know, for a small team, it's a pretty big decision, because they were probably working on this big release for Among Us 2 for quite a while. And now they're like, you know what? Let's just double down on what we had. And I think for a lot of game developers out there, but even content creators, it just goes to show, you know, they've been out since July of 2018, Among Us. It just goes to show that they've been grinding and building this game for a couple of years, and it's only now that they're getting that moment of success. So it just goes to show, whether you're a game dev or content creator, that your moment can come at any point in time.
It's true. And I feel like part of going for Among Us 2 is like, hey, we've got this new game and it can kind of get some traction and some hype going. But because they don't need that anymore, like, yeah, just focus on Among Us. That's the game, similar to what Fortnite, just Fortnite. And they kind of have their iterations of it. It's not to say, too, I mean, we're talking about Among Us a lot. It's not to say, too, that Fall Guys is kind of out of everything. They actually have their season 2 coming out tomorrow, which you're going to have some nights. They're also doing a huge Twitch tournament for charity on Twitch. And like, they're bringing a whole bunch of creators together I think it was on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken.
There's also, is there not a new wall mode coming out where like you have to jump on walls or something?
It's a whole bunch of new maps, exactly. And it's like kind of nights themed, obviously new skins and things. Like, they're keeping the game alive. They're keeping it updated. And we'll see even if that is enough to keep everybody on it, especially for a longer period of time. Obviously, Among Us, I think, came up a little more recently than Fall Guys, so maybe that tanks off as well.
Question before we switch gears is, do you think streamers played a big part in the game's success?
Oh, 100%. I think it's not even streams, but I think it's videos. Like, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I think the video watch time is probably a lot higher even than what the stream watch time is. I actually have no idea, but based off of the few videos I've seen from, like, Disguised Toast, for example, his are getting multi-million views on every single daily upload. Like, it is crazy on top of everybody else that's been uploading, because it kind of brings everything down. It brings all your favorite streamers together. It's like a must click for so many people to see, like, PewDiePie playing with, you know, like, playing with so many other people. It's such an easy click. Like, it gets people interested. But I think too, like, it being available on mobile brought a lot of people in that otherwise didn't have the PC to play on, or even just try it out in the first place or get involved with it. That on top of the memes and the internet, I think, just, like, to me, that's just the obvious catalyst. I don't think it was the game being featured on Steam or whatever, if it even was, before all of this started snowballing. I think it was people coming together, seeing the content, and then it, of course, I think it is up to the masses in terms of what really does catch on, but I think that was kind of the initial catalyst.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah. All right. What do you think? Quick take. Fall Guys or Among Us, your favorite?
Among Us wins. I think the network effects, I think the community bringing it together. Fall Guys can, you know, release a new patch. I think it'll do well. It'll have a player base, but Among Us is going to continue to go strong throughout the rest of the year, especially because of the pandemic.
I think the good thing about Fall Guys, though, of why I think this game is going to have more staying power over the long term, is just that it's a game that you can play a lot more easily by yourself. If you just want to hop in for a game, just for a few minutes or whatever, it is a huge hurdle to get, especially a good game of Fall Guys together. And I think people are going to get burnt out quick of really bad lobbies on Fall Guys, unless there's a real good solution to bring people together for it.
Oh, bad lobbies on Among Us, right? Not Fall Guys.
On Among Us, yes. Sorry. Yeah. On Among Us, it's harder to get games. Whereas Fall Guys, you can kind of just go in, and that ease, I think, is what makes it, like, that's something that can live on for ages. The other really big news that we saw mentioned at the beginning was Twitch actually updating their policies after Dr. Disrespect played in a live stream with Nadeshot, Snoop Dogg. The thing with it was, and it, at least it looks really obvious that that was the case of what happened. If you guys don't know, Vicstar does a Warzone tournament. It is every single week. I played in a couple of them, fortunately, but it brings players together in a 2v2 situation, but you're playing together on the same team. So it would be me and Steven, for example, teamed up against, let's say, Doc and Nadeshot, and then we'd be going in the same lobby together into a game, but we're playing against each other. So you don't really talk to each other. You're playing against each other, going for kills and trying to kill race, basically. But because of that, and I guess maybe that's not the best example because they wouldn't play together. Here's the thing. Because Dr. Disrespect was banned off of Twitch a few months back, because of that, he can't even appear on Twitch streams, is everybody's understanding of this. And because of that, then him, you know, playing with somebody on Twitch in this tournament makes it a bit awkward. And, well, does that now violate the policy of him coming onto somebody else's stream, especially because even if they just exchange a few words, but now is this causing a whole upset? And you always got to keep in mind, maybe this is like, oh, come on, this isn't that big of a deal. Well, when you get banned off of a platform for, let's say Nadeshot did get banned off the platform just because he was playing with Doc, imagine how devastating that would be. And these are just situations that we see at the high end where everybody's eyes are on Dr. Disrespect getting banned. What about everybody else that might get banned that doesn't have a voice of, like, man, I just got banned and I've been building towards this for the last few years or whatever it might be. But anyways, Dr. Disrespect played in a lobby with Nadeshot and Crimsix and amongst a variety of other streamers. But since he was not muted by Nadeshot and Crimsix specifically, he was heard on Twitch, Dr. Disrespect, and essentially broadcasted himself on the platform. Even though he's not necessarily streaming on the platform himself, he did technically appear on it live through the other streams, and now that can cause an issue.
They released a tweet on this, which it was very specific, language they use. So it's, you know, we've got it on screen, we've updated our guidance and the community guidelines, blah blah blah. We understand there may be some instances where suspended users appear on your stream beyond your control, but we expect you to make a good faith effort to remove them from your broadcast, mute them, or otherwise limit their. The question I have is around good faith. Like, what's considered good faith? I mean, it just seems quite a broad and vague term that could get a bunch of folks in trouble. Like, I'm focused on the game. Especially if it's competitive, right? You know, we're playing a showdown event. It's competitive. Yeah. I'm not thinking about, oh, I got to make sure I mute Doc so that he doesn't, you know, come off on Twitch. It just feels weird that this onus is on the creator rather than Twitch.
Or even like a lot of people didn't even know before I was saying it that Dr. Disrespect is banned on the platform. I mean, this is a pretty extreme case. People probably know if they're streaming, but let's say they don't and it ends up happening, or they get matched in a random, sometimes they'll do random lobbies. What if it ends up getting matched and then they end up getting banned and their career is just over because of it, or maybe it's just a strike or whatever it is, but it is hard that there's gray area. I do like though that they are addressing it, and it seemed to me, the way that I'm reading it at least, is like, hey, there's some room for flexibility here. Try your best. You know, we'll understand. And like, maybe that's something where they can take it more case by case of like, listen, I didn't know that he was even banned in the first place. I don't keep track of all this stuff. And so in good faith, maybe they'll be a little bit more lax on it. And, you know, this won't be an issue. To me, it's kind of like they're opening up a bit and being like, hey, you know what, let's make this policy a little softer. Even though there is a lot of that's a lot of gray area to have on it, I think it's more of like, let's try and make sure that this doesn't happen. But if you're clearly still explicitly, you know, I'm bringing Doc on to my Twitch stream and we're going to talk about how he was banned, that's a real clear offense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think given, you know, a little bit of wiggle room, trying to make like it, knowing that Twitch has a problem with this, but it really comes down to if they enforce it against someone and it's comes along those vague lines, I think it's going to be pretty harsh. But if they're doing this just to try and communicate, hey, we have a problem with this, just so you know, please avoid doing it. I think that's okay. It's going to come down to that first case where someone's punished for it, where I think there's going to be a lot of uproar both on the creator side and the viewer side. It's also what makes this especially frustrating is that the community doesn't know why Doc was banned. So. Right.
I mean, do you think, talking vagary, like, are they ever going to even bring that? Are we ever, like, what about, like, 5 years from now? Do you think we'll know what happened?
No, I legitimately don't think we're going to know what happened. I don't, and I think that's part of the frustration between the creator community and the viewing community is,
yeah,
why are they taking such a hard line? And to be honest, they might have it be entirely justified. But because we don't know, that's really frustrating. And these rulings can be a little vague in that regard. So I think TLDR that Twitch is taking a hard stance on this. They're putting it on the creator. I think to your point, it might just be more of a gentle nudge, like, hey, make sure you're kind of adhering to us. We have a problem with it, but we're not going to punish anyone. My only question is if they ever actually come to punish someone. So
yeah.
Switching gears. Over to World of Warcraft Shadowlands. So this is not necessarily just about World of Warcraft, but about games in general. So WoW Shadowlands is not going to make its original release date, which was set for October 27. The team came out and let them know that the pre-expansion patch is still going to come out in October, but the actual core content for the expansion pack is actually going to be pushed to the end of the year. And this is delayed primarily because of adjusting some of the endgame content, which for the last patch that they had, which was Battle of Azeroth, there was a lot of criticism that the endgame content was quite weak. So, yeah. You know, they're really just taking their time with this release.
You know what? I've seen so many posts from people now of like, yes, thank you. You're delaying it. Like, take your time. Finish the game. So especially with like that talks about like Cyberpunk. I think that was supposed to be out like at the beginning of this year, or maybe it was even supposed to be end of last year. I don't remember. But every time I hear anything about it, it's been delayed. I think it actually is coming out at the end of this year, though, for real. But I feel like I don't know if I'm being pessimistic on this, but I feel like they'll announce a date just to be like, we're pushing it. But at the same time, I guess, you know, everybody is working from home right now. Things are very difficult, especially with the virus thing. It's just everything's being delayed, and then a lot of the creators that I've been following and a lot of the replies that I saw in the message was like, yes, delay it, take your time, make sure that it's good, which I agree with, by the way. Like, yes, take your time, make sure it's good. I think the bigger problem, though, is that when you do at least set a date, like, why even publish the date in the first place of, hey, we're launching on this date for it? And then the thing is, too, with a game like World of Warcraft, for example, there's people that just bought a resubscription for 1 month to try it out, and they just, okay, they're timing it. I'm going to do it 1 week before, because it costs, you know, you got to pay a monthly subscription for the game. So they pay for their month, but then it's like, it's going to be another month. Sorry about that. Yeah. You know, okay, you're going to have to do another month and stick around. And then a lot of people don't even want to play Battle for Azeroth right now because of the state that it's in and everything. You know
what
I'm saying?
How do you think this affects the streaming space, though? Like, particularly those that are streaming World of Warcraft. How's it going to hurt or benefit them? Because they were planning. They were, you know, there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes to a game launch. How do you think it impacts?
Well, I saw some comments from people that were like, oh, well, you're Mr. Top tier streamer. You can wait another week or two for these delays and these releases. Whereas, you know, I'm trying to figure this stuff out. Like, it's a lot harder. And I definitely understand that. I think it's really hard when there's a delay, especially if I think back to like when I was creating and I specifically would take time off of work for this game launch or for an event or whatever it was so that I can spend extra time that night prepping some content, prepping videos for it. I think at the other end, it kind of helps drag things out, gives you a little bit more time. So if you want to do some more preparation for that game coming, it also gives you plenty more to talk about in terms of outrage, which everybody likes outrage unless you don't do content like that where you get to be pissed off or whatever, you know, like being able to talk about a lot of that and like that's going to be content of its own. But and you can do more lead up content. I think it gives you a little bit more buffer too for the people that are going to be coming on and maybe waiting for the game to come out to start streaming it, to start creating content on it. It gives you that much more opportunity to get ahead. And while everybody else is waiting, now you can start getting some more content, kind of get ahead of the curve a little bit more. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword in a lot of ways, but those are the aspects that I think about it from.
Yeah, I think to your point, you know, especially when you're like, oh, I'm looking for that game that I can really take a hold of. It's, you know, got a much smaller audience, but it's got an active player base. And I think that, you know, the WoW patches are that for a lot of folks. So maybe Samantha was asking, like, how do game delays affect content creators?
Right.
And I think that you have to know that the industry is constantly up and down. Like, if you think a game's going to be hot, it might not be hot. And you have to have some understanding that will happen and not put all your eggs in one basket necessarily. Like, you have to think, okay, this didn't work. What am I going to do next? You can't just stall out because in this example, you know, Shadowlands are being pushed to later in the year. Like, you just have to be like, okay, that's happening. I've done a bunch of work for this. I'm going to keep that work for later when the game comes out. But what can I do right now? And don't freeze or get bitter or annoyed, because that's not going to help you at the end of the day.
You know what's interesting too is like, I think back when like the new Call of Duty was coming out or whatever it was, like you'd get a couple bits and pieces of it, but it took you a lot of time. At least for me, like it took me a lot of time to actually go through that, do a breakdown of or whatever it was that I was doing the content, because I've changed it a lot over the years as well. But I've always felt like, man, I don't have enough time to get to whatever it is. The big thing with the delay, though, is like when you do get some more time to maybe do a couple more things, it's also not procrastinating and waiting until, okay, now I'm basically in the same situation where I'm out of time anyways. Because I would prepare, especially for a launch or something, like I would prepare a ton of different stuff. And you could look back to a bunch of different games that I've covered over the years and everything that comes out, front loading a lot of that content, because especially when something does drop, if you're the first person to get something out on it or even a title or something on it, like that's what's going to show up first on it, especially on YouTube or a lot of different platforms, because that's what's going to gain initial traction and that's what everybody's immediately searching for, whatever it is. Same thing with like the 3090, 3080, 3070 launch and everything. But overall, delays are something 100% I agree with you. You got to be able to work around it. And I think it's better that the game is delayed so that it is polished and it's a better experience for everybody.
Well, I question, are you going to get back in a while? If that comes out?
Yeah, I think I'm going to check it out. I usually check it out when the new season drops, especially streaming it a little bit. See how it does. Test the waters a little bit with it. See how it does.
Cool. Well, I think that's all we have time for today, David.
Awesome. Great episode. Talked about a lot of big things. If you guys want to listen back to these as well, you can find all of our podcasts on pipeline.gg/podcast. Of course, find everything over on pipeline.gg. We got the Becoming a Streamer podcast where we interview streamers. New episodes of that out every single Monday, as well as these that are happening live every other week. We're going to keep working on this. This is our second episode. I think it was a lot of fun. Give us some feedback. Go leave us a review over on iTunes, YouTube, everywhere that you might find podcasts, including Spotify. We got it up for you. So check it out. And thanks so much for listening in, everybody.
Sweet. See ya.